northward flights. But the researchers were excited when one bird's tag was still working when she made her return flight to New Zealand. It was on this return trip that the 8-day record-breaking flight was made.
Well, I'm impressed.
Call me a wimp, Don, but I'm obviously not a bar-tailed godwit. I need to get some sleep.
Good idea. Sweet dreams. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Sue Ann Zollinger with help from Kenneth Jensen in the Medical Sciences Program. For a napping Yael Cassander, I'm Don Glass.
Well, a brief look at sports here. The Chicago Cubs game with the Rockies is the only afternoon game in the major leagues, and right now, the Rockies lead the Cubs 7-0. Cubs are batting in the bottom of the third. After taking 2 of 3 from Houston, the Cards welcome Pittsburgh to Busch Stadium tonight. White Sox try to make it 2 in a row over the Rays in Tampa Bay at the NCAA Lincoln Regional. Eastern Illinois has come back and taken a 5-3 lead over Nebraska. 5-3 lead with the Panthers coming back from a 3-2 deficit. Winner will advance to play the winner of tonight's UC Irvine Oral Roberts game. And you can't let it go unmentioned that the UC Irvine team name is the Anteaters. Another American has been eliminated from the French Open. Serena Williams was beaten today. Women's top seed Maria Sharapova and second seed Anna Ivanovic, and the men's second seed Rafael Nadal and third seed Novak Djokovic have all won today, and it looks like guard Richard Hamilton will be playing for the Pistons tonight in the NBA Eastern Conference Final with Boston. He injured his right arm during Game 5, but participated in the team shoot-around this morning, and looks like he'll play. The Pistons trail the Celtics 3-2, and this is another day off in the Stanley Cup for the Penguins and Red Wings. Game 4 in their final will take place tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. The Wings, by the way, lead that series 2-1. That's a look at sports.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, dedicated to defining spaces, creating places, and enhancing communities across the Midwest. On the web at ratioarchitects.com.
Quick update on the weather situation. We do have the tornado watch in effect for all of the counties in our severe weather county coverage area until 10 o'clock tonight. And let me just run down those counties quickly for you. Livingston, Iroquois, Ford, McLean, Champaign, Vermilion, Douglas, Edgar, Coles, Cumberland, Clark, Piatt, Moultrie, Shelby, Macon, DeWitt, Logan, Sangamon, and Christian counties, all of those counties in our severe weather coverage area, and more under this tornado watch. It extends over into western Indiana and out towards southwestern Illinois. And right now, what we're looking at is a band of thunderstorms. It extends from north of Pontiac to through Peoria and down to Macomb, and it's hanging pretty steady right now, and is expected to through about 4 o'clock this afternoon, with the stronger storms in this band capable of producing hail and wind gusts above 40 miles an hour as they move to the east-northeast. An additional thunderstorm development will be likely late this afternoon from about Winchester out west toward Lincoln to Rantoul, and these storms may be become severe rapidly as they strengthen, so you should be alert as the afternoon goes on, even if the weather's not doing anything in your immediate area at the moment. And we will keep you up to date. But again, a tornado watch is in effect until 10 tonight for all of the counties in our severe weather coverage area, and that means that tornadoes are possible, severe thunderstorms possible in and around the watch area. Northern Illinois, the Lake and DeKalb County areas and McHenry County have been pummeled by storms and quite a bit of damage from high winds, as high as gusting as high as 80 miles an hour in some areas. And there have been a few injuries reported. I believe that was in McHenry County today. And so we're watching this band of storms as it moves to the north-northeast, and we'll keep you up to date as it does progress. And if anything should develop, we'll be on the air at once with the latest information.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 30th of May, 2008. It's the birthday of filmmaker Howard Hawks, born in Goshen, Indiana, 1896, who, when asked about his style as a director, said, "I just aim at the actors." It's the birthday of the Harlem Renaissance poet County Cullen, born in Louisville, Kentucky, in 1903. And it was on this day in 1431 that Joan of Arc was burned at the stake for heresy in Rouen, France. She was a French peasant girl living during the Hundred Years' War between France and England. When she was still a teenager, she heard the voice of God telling her to help defeat the English army and performed a series of apparent miracles and persuaded the French army to let her command a group of soldiers. And at the Battle of Orléans, she led the French army, bearing the flag, and the English were defeated. She continued fighting until May the 23rd, 1430, when she was captured. The English turned her over to the church to be tried as a heretic, an idolater, a sorcerer, and the church put her on trial for a number of months. Every day she was brought into the interrogation room, the only woman in a room full of judges and priests and soldiers and guards, the judges hoping to trick her into saying something that would incriminate her as a witch. So they asked her endless questions about all aspects of her life in no particular order, especially about her childhood. And because the trial was recorded, there were transcripts kept, we know more about her early life than any other common person of her time. She testified that she had learned from her mother how to pray and how to clean the house, that she was good at sewing and spinning. She described the games she played as a child and the songs that she sang and the way that she and other children danced around a particular tree in their town. She preferred singing to dancing. She loved the sound of bells ringing in her town. She said that many people in her village believed in fairies, and her godmother claimed to have seen a fairy once, but that she, Joan, doubted this. Said that she first started hearing divine voices when she was 13, working in her father's garden. After months of questioning, she was told that if she didn't sign a confession, she would be put to death, and so she signed it, but a few days later renounced the confession, and on this day in 1431, she was burned at the stake at the age of 19. She was mostly forgotten for about 400 years, and then revived as a patriotic figure during the French Revolution, was canonized as a saint in 1920, the only person ever burned at the stake for heresy, who later became a saint. Here's a poem for today by Gary Snyder, entitled For All. Ah, to be alive on a mid-September morn, fording a stream, barefoot, pants rolled up, holding boots, pack on, sunshine, ice in the shallows, northern Rockies. Rustle and shimmer of icy creek waters, stones turn underfoot, small and hard as toes, cold nose dripping, singing inside, creek music, heart music, smell of sun on gravel. I pledge allegiance to the soil of Turtle Island and to the beings who thereon dwell. One ecosystem in diversity under the sun with joyful interpenetration for all. A poem by Gary Snyder, For All, from the Gary Snyder Reader, published by Counterpoint, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can visit them online anytime at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Katrina Chikala and Ella Shovanik. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's coming up on 2:50. Well, our Capital Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio is checking in this afternoon and saying it's clear it's going to be a long night. Budget bills are being drafted. A vote could come in the Illinois House tonight on budget, and it does appear that Democrats have negotiated the next budget and come up with some kind of an agreement on spending ahead of, well, the deadline is tomorrow. But the big question remains whether it's in balance. And schools should, under this, according to information obtained so far, get an increase of more than $500 million. But a lot of that is going to be earmarked for an increase in construction funding for 24 school districts that have been waiting years to get their promised money. And it appears higher education might be in for a 2.8% increase in funding under this budget, which is about $2 billion higher. The entire budget is about $2 billion higher than this year's. So the big question is, where would the money come from to pay for that? And so far, some of the ideas are borrowing to pay down pension debt, sweeping out state funds for any money hiding in nooks and crannies, selling an unused riverboat casino license, leasing the state lottery, and again, a long night at the state capitol as they try to hammer out and pass that budget by the deadline of tomorrow. We'll see. Should be interesting. As the lawmakers do that, legislators, the governor, and other elected officials are due to receive double-digit pay hikes. That's a spending item that appears safe, and Amanda Vinicky has that story.
If you think about it, voters are lawmakers' bosses, and it seems that they're not impressed with the job the elected officials they've hired to run the state are doing. Findings published in May show that only 26% of the registered voters who were polled by the Chicago-based Glengariff Group approve of how Governor Rod Blagojevich is doing his job. The same poll shows that more than 70% of those asked say Illinois is on the wrong track. Normally, receiving such a bad review would make most people fear for their jobs, let alone expect a raise. But State Senate President Emil Jones sees it differently.
I need a pay raise.
You'd support another one?
I need a pay raise.
And he's a man with the power to make it happen. Jones is due to see his salary increase from more than $90,000 a year to $102,000. Blagojevich's paychecks would go from $170,000 to more than $190,000 a year. State legislators and other elected officials are also in line for a double-digit pay bump for the second time in as many years.
This is something that is just unacceptable. When we as a state know the economic problems that we have, when we know that we're not paying bills to nursing homes and to hospitals and to social service agencies, then it's time for us to say, why would we even consider a raise for ourselves?
That's Democratic Representative Lisa Dugan, who's from the Kankakee area. She and a majority of other members of the House and Senate say they don't want the raises. But in a process often described as backwards, what elected officials should be paid is decided by an obscure state panel known as the Compensation Review Board. Its recommendations take effect unless both chambers of the General Assembly vote to reject them. The Illinois House has already voted overwhelmingly against the recommended increases, but so far the Senate, controlled by Jones, has taken no action on the matter. Without Senate action, the raises will go forward. It's a process that Republican Representative Jim Durkin of Western Springs says is confusing and purposefully so.
It was created back in the mid-80s just for that, to create confusion and basically to ensure that a pay raise would go through without anybody really having to take the tough vote.
Durkin and others are looking to change the process. They say instead of both chambers having to reject raises, it should be the opposite. And unless both the House and Senate are for the raises, they won't take effect. They also want changes made to the review board, for instance, requiring meetings to be shown live on the internet. However, Bob Malero, a Democrat from Chicago, says the process works now.
We weren't just going to come up and do our own raises because obviously we would vote for our own raises all the time.
Malero says that's why it's up to an independent commission to determine how much lawmakers are worth.
I believe that if independent people think we should be an increase, kind of would be sort of grandstanding by my part to say, no, I don't think so. Just to curry favor with the public.
Furthermore, many lawmakers say they deserve pay raises. Some are single mothers, others are attorneys or dentists who could be making far more in the private sector. And still others point out that being a legislator has gone from being a part-time gig to a full-time job. Kevin Ford has been chairman of the Bipartisan Compensation Review Board since 1985. He says various factors come into play when members determine